Welcome to the Docs Who Lift podcast, where we distill and simplify the complexities of a healthy lifestyle, exercise, medicine, and weight loss. We're excited to bring you a podcast that's a prescription for clinical practice, scientific recommendations, and just real life. This is the Docs Who Lift podcast.
Hey, and welcome back to the Docs Who Lift podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Nedolsky. I have my co-host here, Carl Nedolsky Jr.
Hello.
And we're actually going to talk about this funny, what's called a false dichotomy of lifestyle versus medicine. Now, we've talked about this a little bit before. We've actually written a blog all about this for a news, medical news syndicate called MedPage Today. But basically this idea that, one should be preferred over the other. It just doesn't make sense. And the reason this came up is because we see this on Twitter all the time. We see it on all social media, but Twitter specifically, we get these like keto zealots, and there's also plant-based vegan kind of zealots too.
All the evangelicals.
Yeah, kind of the lifestyle.
The lifestyle
evangelicals. We love lifestyle as medicine, but like they take it to another level to where it's like, no, if you do keto, you don't need medicine. It fixes the root cause of everything. If you do vegan, whatever, plant-based, it fixes the root cause of everything.
Yeah.
Now,
specifically, if we talk about where, medications are indicated, they say, oh, you guys don't do lifestyle medicine? It's like, what? No.
Yeah.
We're people have always thought we were like lifestyle evangelicals.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I think I told the story about how in residency, my attending doctors thought I was a little too overzealous about lifestyle. And it's like, no, because it does work extremely well. And we should give patients the chance to do lifestyle. Absolutely. Give the best guidance as possible. But, unfortunately, in a lot of cases, people aren't going to be able to respond to only lifestyle, depending on what it is, mind you, the ailment. But the specific case that we're talking about here on Twitter, there is a whole thing about how lifestyle is better than medicines for weight loss. And it doesn't really make sense because,
who said that? Unfortunately, as much as we would,
the little med student guy. Yeah, which is funny because I used to think it must have been hard to get into Harvard and you had to have like really smart, but like,
we're going to lose all of our guests from Harvard now.
We probably have zero anyway. The thing is like, you think about like, I see like Yale and Stanford, Harvard, all these places are very academically renowned. And then you see some of the things that these people from these places say on social media, and I'm like,
but he certainly doesn't represent the mainstream.
These people get in and they use those credentials to kind of propel themselves online. Like people from Stanford all the time. You see it a lot. Like, oh, this person's a scientist from Stanford. This one's
a very specific guy who'd like
from. there's a few of those. There's actually a few, Harvard specifically, people use all the time. This guy's some sort of scientist from Harvard. Anyway, that's besides the point. But basically the idea from this particular person was that lifestyle is greater than medicine's sign. And they're like, semaglutide's okay. Semaglutide is the GLP-1 agonist we talk about often. It was my first love. My newest love is tirzepatide, of course. But the idea was the concept was that lifestyle is getting to the root cause. It's like, no, if you understand how medicines treat obesity, they allow people, they help people do the lifestyle that you want them that they can do. It's just the irony of the
term root cause. If you talk to the people doing these the trials that are really a little bit more into the weeds of the research even than we are, who are doing the studies, for example, Anya Yastreboff, she talks about how it's the medications are what are technically actually treating the root cause, which is the genetic propensity within our, you know, hypothalamus and our the communication between our brain and our gut and our adipose tissue that drives our hunger and our lack of appetite and our cravings, and that, you know, the surgeries and medications are actually the ones treating the true root cause, while it kind of on a more superficial level, actually supporting the lifestyle efforts that are, you know, what I would still say are the foundation, because lifestyle is, you know, very important and not mutually exclusive. I use that term all the time. That's like my special catchphrase.
You love that. You love that catchphrase.
These things are not, I mean, because people always think all these things have to be mutually exclusive, and not really, not most people, but the loudest people, especially the Twitter zealots,
yeah,
all the time. They think that all the time.
Yeah, we see it with COVID. We saw it with COVID where people were like, well, I can't believe you're pushing this vaccine. You should be pushing a healthy lifestyle. It's like, excuse me, we should be doing healthy lifestyle regardless.
Who said we can't do both of them?
Yeah, no, you should. Yeah,
everyone, we got to be helping everyone with improving their nutrition and their physical activity and their fitness, regardless of, you know, communicable diseases like COVID and chronic diseases like obesity and the complications like type 2 diabetes.
Yeah. Think about it for type 2 diabetes, you know, of course, losing your visceral and ectopic adipose and helping out your pancreas with releasing insulin and improving your insulin sensitivity, decreasing your insulin resistance, you know, through weight loss is great. And that can help with type 2 diabetes. But like, and hypertension, the same type of thing. But like, why would you say lifestyle's better than medicine when some people are going to absolutely require medicine? It doesn't need, there are certain cases you're just not going to get away from it. Right. I don't know why.
Well, and that's why for everybody out there, you know, we all know that lifestyle is the foundation for anything that has anything to do with nutrition, physical activity, et cetera. So the article we wrote a few years ago, I'm looking at it right now. It was 2015. It was March 31, 2015. The title is Lifestyle Medicine Guidelines. So all mainstream evidence-based guidelines support lifestyle changes first. They all do it. And they go based upon the data, and they recommend nutrition and physical activity as warranted in whatever we're talking about, whether it's obesity, diabetes, heart disease prevention, even other things like arthritis and stuff. And so we kind of talked about that. Well, so fast forward to medication trials that have to be done to definitively show benefits outweigh the risks of medications to even be approved and available. They always do it in addition to lifestyle. So the placebo arm gets some sort of lifestyle intervention, and the medication arm gets the same lifestyle intervention, nutrition guidance, physical activity, et cetera. And so any benefit that's seen with the medication is on top of the lifestyle. That's for cholesterol medications and cardiovascular outcomes, diabetes, weight loss, all that, blood pressure, hypertension, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah. There are patients that, the other thing is there are patients that will do very well with lifestyle, but unfortunately the long run, oftentimes our bodies and environments are insurmountable comeback, insurmountable riding time. it's a wrestling term for those who are listening. But it's very hard to overcome these things. And this is where like, blood pressure specifically, you know, I have a lot of patients that will lose weight and do really well. And, you know, sometimes their blood pressure is just still a little bit elevated. And, you know, for my brother, he's probably looking for hyperaldosteronism or something like that. But, you know, some of this stuff is genetic and you just can't improve it without medicine. The psychiatric, depression, anxiety, these types of things. We try to do cognitive behavioral therapy, all sorts of behavioral therapies with psychologists. But sometimes, and oftentimes, I'd say that people require medicine for that too. And, you know, you can do diet and exercise improvements, but oftentimes those won't do the trick either. We did talk about that as well in our I think we mentioned that in our article. I'm not sure. We got into like, we got into
osteoporosis to, also.
Osteoporosis, of course.
Yeah. You know, resistance training, weight bearing exercise, which is good for not only bone density, but bone quality, fracture reduction. And more importantly, people don't realize this, but fall prevention. They should realize it because it's the most, one of the most important things. If we help prevent falls, then that really dramatically reduces the risk of having a hip fracture. But it doesn't necessarily, it's definitely not in place of medication. So we do it anyways. It's very important. Every single lifestyle intervention is important regardless. Now, a little caveat that maybe this confuses people is that, you know, when we talk about the obesity medications that we've discussed so much, when, you know, they always have a lifestyle arm or a lifestyle intervention for the placebo and the treatment group that I mentioned. But then we have some trials where they incorporate what we call intensive behavioral therapy, where people are being seen and coached and monitored with their diet and physical activity much more frequently than what is really practical in real life. And because these trials in the past for behavioral therapy have shown the most benefit for obesity, type 2 diabetes, et cetera, they're being seen and coached every week for the first month and then every other week for the next 5 months. And these usually show, you know, 5 to 7% weight loss and improved sugars and all that other stuff. Well, in the weight loss medications, they add them to show that there's benefit above and beyond that. Well, when we talked about the semaglutide or Wegovy trial that did this, the absolute weight difference, the weight loss, was not a lot higher than it wasn't really any higher than
the
trials that just had the basic, you know, lifestyle intervention. And so what a lot of people say is, well, this is so good at actually treating that true root cause of the dysfunctional, you know, hypothalamic communication of driving appetite and cravings and all that stuff, that people were just able to just stick with the basic nutrition advice, cut down their energy intake and lose a lot of weight without the excessive frequency of coaching and behavioral supportive therapy. But that still doesn't mean that they weren't prescribed the basic nutrition and exercise plan that the
placebo group the thing was. I will say that most people have a good idea of what, you know, people know just, that instead of donuts, they should probably eat an apple or some broccoli. You know what I mean? Like instead of potato chips, should probably have some green beans with the meal, whatever, maybe some rice. Brown rice, maybe. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't really matter, but maybe glycemic response. But whatever. Just very mild. But like, but most people, so when I actually made a tweet about, I quoted the lifestyle greater sign than medicine, end quote. And I said, someone who doesn't understand obesity pathophysiology or whatever, something like that. Something sarcastic as I usually do. And the stories start pouring in. And I did mention a few other things under that, like the medicine helps people do the lifestyle. I showed that semaglutide step 3 trial that you're talking about, whereas intensive lifestyle therapy versus intensive lifestyle therapy plus semaglutide. And yes, like you said, it didn't really matter because I think this medicine is really just allowing people to them to live in this obesogenic environment and live and eat the way that someone without as much adiposity would eat, without the appetite derangement. And really, that's, like you said, the root cause. Yeah. So it allows them to stick to the lifestyle that we know. For the most part, you know, of course, there are some hyporesponders out there, and that's a little topic for another time. But the purpose, the whole idea of this is that it's not lifestyle is greater than medicine or medicine's greater than lifestyle. It's just that they're not mutually exclusive, as my brother would say, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing. So I guess, you know, the part of the point of this podcast is maybe as a fair warning to people out there following these extreme evangelicals on social media. And it includes doctors, it includes scientists, it includes journalists, you know,
dietitians, personal trainers, whatever.
There does not need to be this competition. And, it, you know, it also gets into this whole thing where people start fighting about, oh, well, doctors don't know what they're talking about with nutrition. And why don't they? But and then they get mad that doctors don't give enough nutrition guidance. And and it's like, well, okay. So some of us do have some specialization in nutrition. We also don't have that much time to spend all of our time doing personalized dietary guidance, because that's not where the, kind of the most bang for the buck is. We are experts in providing medical evaluation and recommendations that include nutrition, exercise, medications, and surgeries. And we need to find a way to utilize our dietitians to help dig into the weeds a little bit more and personalize to a greater degree the nutrition plans for patients. And we have to do a better job of that as just a healthcare system and, you know, healthcare professionals altogether. But that drives me crazy too. It's like I don't know, it sounds like hypocritical of people when they say that, you know, they, it's like, well, that's not the point.
Yeah.
So you, would you really want some, you know, a say a rheumatologist to, you know, give inappropriate dietary advice, or would you rather the rheumatologist know to a T what what evaluation medication plan is appropriate and then refer you to a dietitian who can help with the nutrition part? But, you know, we're all on the same team. That's, that drives me nuts too, is the creating these, you know, combative sort of
us versus them. It's a marketing thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can always tell when people are marketing. It's an, it's always an extreme. It's never a compromise. It's never reasonable. Yeah. And it's never all working together, which is what we're supposed to do. And there are no secrets, by the way. The people who claim to have secrets, there's no secrets in science. We all share the outcomes.
Yeah, and these people together that claim to have secrets, I promise you, they're not the ones doing the research. They're not on the cutting edge of research. They never are. They're always the quacks. They're not the ones speaking at the conferences. You know, it's so funny. And they write books. They do write books.
Yeah, based on other people's research. Titles. And they,
that they misinterpret. For their own benefit.
People to make money.
They say it's all, it's a big pharma conspiracy. Where's my, still, you know, again, we talk about this all the time. We get offered. I have offers all the time. My brother gets offers. We want to see that golf tournament size check though. I want to see that thing that can barely fit in my door. No, we haven't gotten any money. Not yet. I've decided, we haven't done it. We may do it. Yeah, we'll see. We could.
We'll do some. Well, something.
I know. I may do it. I may do it, but I haven't yet.
Okay. So, anyways. All right. We'll see. I mean, there are actually some good opportunities that we'll do and, you know, do some speaking stuff someday, and we'll have to disclose that stuff. But,
They're not bought off.
All that. Yeah. Nobody should be bought off. Hopefully not too many people actually are. We know that is, can be an issue out there. But these things are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
Nutrition, physical activity, sleep, behavioral therapy, stress reduction are not mutually exclusive from medical therapy or surgical therapy.
Yeah. And if you need medicine or surgery, hey, that's fine. No shame.
Yeah.
I got a lot of good DMs about that, by the way. They were very appreciative that I tweeted that, because some people feel shamed by these other people. They're like, I feel ashamed that I have to take a med. It's like, don't.
That's a great point. Yeah. That's right. These people are shaming those who need medical help, including medicines and surgery. People are afraid to do surgery because they think it's a last resort.
Yep.
For bariatric surgery specifically, but you know, that might go for other things.
Yeah. And shouldn't necessarily be.
There's no shame in treating the disease process. We're all going to try to help everyone with lifestyle efforts. We are shills for lifestyle. Promise.
We are. All right.
Till
next time, Docs Who Lift. Thanks. Give us a share. Give us some ratings. Tell your friends. All right. I hope you had some happy holidays.
This podcast is for entertainment and education and information purposes only. Remember, the physicians on this podcast are not your physician. It should not be considered professional or personalized medical advice. It should not be used to replace speaking with your physician or medical professional to discuss your specific health concerns. The topics discussed should not be used solely to diagnose or treat any condition. As a result, we are not responsible for any unwanted medical outcomes. The views and opinions discussed are of those of the host only and do not represent those of any other entities. We'll